The Gospel of Mark this morning, we're going to pick up in chapter number 6. We're going to focus our hearts especially on verses 30 through 44. In verses 14 through 29, here's the story of the death of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. When King Herod heard of it, what Jesus had just done, sending his disciples out, they're preaching, they are healing people. He's just raised up Jairus's daughter. He's the synagogue ruler. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. And then notes there in that story, as the story goes back in time and tells us that Herod had killed John. He's at, in verse 21, he's at, on his birthday, a great banquet for his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. So the king of Judea, at a great banquet, is there feasting with all of his men, all to this praise of himself. We read this in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus after having been sent out to preach and heal, and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he, Jesus, saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is the desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them, the crowd, away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the loaves and the five loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And all of God's people say to these wonderful words, Amen. There's a sermon notes page, as always, in the bulletin. If you didn't see that yet, there is a little outline there, some notes for you to follow along. And there's also a little kids notes page with some questions for them just up top. If you didn't grab one of those on the way down, feel free to go get one of those for your kids. So some Q&A, some questions and answers for them. In that. So here in this wonderful story, a familiar story probably to us, from the gospel narrative, the feeding of the 5,000, right? How many of us have heard that story? The feeding of the 5,000. This is one of the most famous stories of Jesus, isn't it? We probably know it from the Gospel of John, but here it's also recorded in Mark, and it's really one of those stories, actually, that it's found in all 4 of the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. And it teaches us this wonderful truth, that in Christ alone we find our everlasting satisfaction. We find rest in Him alone. We find fulfillment in Him alone, not just in an earthly sense, but we find in Him, as we'll see, He, like Moses, leading the Israelites into the wilderness, providing manna from heaven every single day to satisfy them, to lead them to the Lord. Jesus satisfies. Jesus alone satisfies. We live in an age, of course, of unprecedented access to all kinds of stuff. All kinds of material prosperity, enough blessing and material money and stuff and things and possessions that we put King Herod to shame in the story here. In Jesus' day, in fact, about 80% of the Roman Empire were slaves. Only 20% made more than a denarii, a daily wage, whatever that would be in our time. But 80% made one denarius per day. They were slaves. They were servants. They were working menial jobs. But yet, Jesus comes and he describes satisfaction here. And although we have unprecedented access to money and to stuff and to fame and fortune, how many of us are really happy this morning? Do we feel satisfied with where God, whether we like it or not, where God has put us in life? You might live in a big house. You might live in an apartment. You might be married. You might be single. You might have your dream job. You might be working at two or three jobs this morning, today, that you're not sure where it's going. You might be in school and wondering why. You may have not gone to school and wonder why you didn't go. Are you satisfied? We live in a time, of course, in our own country where politics is now, even for us as Christians, politics is becoming an idol. It's becoming a side god next to the Lord. We, of course, we say we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and his Son and the Holy Spirit, but yet our political ideology is, for us, the thing that we think is going to satisfy us, but how many of us are satisfied politically, no matter what side of the aisle we stand on? We have unprecedented access to education, but yet we can be dissatisfied with our education. Financial blessing. We're always chasing more, aren't we? How many of us are satisfied with how much money we have in our bank accounts, in our retirement funds, right? We all complain about these things. We all covet more. We heard that 10th commandment this morning, don't covet anything, right? Anything else that God hasn't provided for you. We have unprecedented access this morning to technology. And at least when I was a kid, they always promised the next technology to come out was going to make your life simpler and easier, and you had more time for the things you really wanted to do. But it never ends, right? It never ends. I mean, you have an iPhone 1, you have an iPhone 2, and how many are there now? Like 11 or something like that? I mean, it never ends, right? And then, is it 12 now? I think it's a 12, right? Yeah, it's a 12. Thanks, Alex. It's a 12, yeah. Is there going to be a 13? Probably already made it, right? They're probably just waiting for everybody to buy the 12s to make all their money at the right moment, the right time to send out the 13, right? So we're never satisfied. And we use our technology, and now our kids are in school online, and they're online for hours upon hours upon hours, right? We become addicted to our phones and so forth. We have unprecedented access in our time to sex, just like the Roman Empire, but in our culture. How we use our bodies matters. The bodies that God gave to us. The world tells us one thing about our bodies, but yet God says something completely different. How we identify with the Lord, how we find our identity in Him, and not in the various ideologies of sexuality and identity that our culture constantly is bombarding us and our kids with. But yet, those things never satisfy. Here's King Herod in our story. He's not satisfied. He's the king of Judea. He has unprecedented wealth. He throws this lavish banquet, but yet he's dissatisfied. He's married his brother's wife, contrary to God's laws, and yet there he is lusting after his brother's wife's daughter. Lusting after her, wanting more. Wanting more. He's not satisfied. So we come to Mark chapter 6. It asks us, God asks us, what are you dissatisfied in today? And God, though, says to us, I want you to find that satisfaction in Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000. Find your satisfaction in Jesus alone. Look at the outline there. There's three things to see about Jesus this morning that lead us to this thing, to this point of finding satisfaction in Him. The first thing is His compassion, notice. Jesus' compassion, verses 30 to 34. He had compassion. He had pity. This word speaks of, at least from in the Old Testament version of it, it speaks in the Old King James of God was passionate, and that passion comes from the depths of His being, His bowels, His intestines, the depths of who He is physically, as it were. From the very bottom of who He is, right? The deepest part of who he is. He has that passion and pity and mercy. And we read about it here of Jesus. Notice that he sends out his disciples. We saw that last Lord's Day. They now return, and of course they're excited about all the things that they had done. They preached as Jesus had to preach. They healed as Jesus gave them power to do so. And then Jesus says, very interestingly, as Mark records it in verse 31, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Now, it's been a while in the Gospel of Mark, but back in the early chapters, chapter 1 especially, do you remember that word I mentioned? Desolate place. What's the Old Testament image that Mark is trying to get us to think of? A desolate place is like what in the Old Testament? It's like the wilderness, isn't it? So literally they're in a desert, but Jesus has come to a desolate place. He wants us to begin to think in the story, as Mark records it for us, of the wilderness. And notice why Jesus says to go to a desolate place and rest a little while. Why? Because many people were coming and going to the disciples, the apostles, and they weren't even able to eat. So they were physically exhausted. Jesus wants us to think now, in our Old Testament minds, of the wilderness wandering and the rest that God had for his people back then. Now, this imagery of rest, so he has compassion on his own disciples here. Come into the wilderness with me, as it were. Find rest. This comes right from the Old Testament prophets, where the prophets described an age to come in which the Messiah would walk on this earth, and the Spirit of God, the prophecy of Jeremiah of Isaiah tells us, 63, would give them rest as he had done so out in the wilderness. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 31 that the ancient Israelites found grace in the wilderness. Jeremiah 31, verse 2. They found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. And they were describing what had happened in the days of Moses to encourage the Israelites then, as they were going out into exile to Babylon, to find their rest where? To find it in the Lord, even though they were out in the wilderness. So he has compassion for his disciples, for them to have rest, to eat some food, to take a break from the stress and the pressure of their serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus has a bigger reason here. This theological reason to describe himself as the one who gives the rest that God himself promises. So we might think of it like this, that we're busy in life today, like these apostles, these disciples. We're busy. Especially, you might even think that we're very busy like them, doing things that God has called us to do. Being a mom at home, teaching your kids, going to work this week, the work that God has provided for you, whatever it might be. God has given you that place in life, and you're busy, you're stressed, you're overworked, right? And Jesus describes himself as having compassion here. Compassion. Find your satisfaction in Jesus. Find it in him alone, the one who alone can give you that rest that your, not just your body, but your soul desires and needs. Notice he also has compassion on everybody here. That's the second little point there. He has compassion on all, verse 33 and 34. Why? Notice these people are coming and going to the apostles. They're hearing them teach. They are receiving these signs and these healings and these wonderful pictures of the restoration of this age of the Messiah to come. But Jesus has compassion on them because, verse 34 says, they were like sheep without what?
A shepherd.
They're like sheep without a shepherd, wandering out in the wilderness. Is it safe for a lamb to wander out in the wilderness if you are thinking in your biblical mind of the Old Testament language of a sheep wandering in the wilderness? What's out there waiting for a sheep? A wolf, right? Or a lion. An animal. To destroy it, to devour it, to kill it, to eat it. You don't want to be a lonely little lamb out in the wilderness. And so he has compassion on them because they're like sheep that don't have a shepherd. Now it's interesting. So Jesus is describing a wilderness and rest, right? That's Old Testament imagery. Sheep without a shepherd. This is also from the Old Testament. So turn back in your Bible with me to Numbers, a book that you probably haven't read in quite a while, the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Just notice that verse number 17. Here's Moses praying to the Lord that he would provide a successor for him when he dies, a successor to lead the Israelites into the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the land of rest. Who shall go out before them, verse 17, and come in before them? Who shall lead them out and bring them in? So that the congregation of the Lord may not be as what? Sheep that have no shepherd. The Lord is, Mark, as he's describing, Jesus as a Moses figure here. He had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Turn also in your Bible to the prophet Ezekiel. Just one more verse, Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, and in this section he's promising and prophesying a king who's going to come, a David figure, a leader for the Israelites. And notice this. Verse 5. So they, speaking of ancient Israel in the prophet's day, so they were scattered. Why? Because there was no shepherd. And notice what happens when you're a little lamb scattered out in the wilderness. They became food for the wild beasts. Wolves, right? That's John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. And the wolves come into the sheep pen trying to devour. They became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered, verse 6, over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, but none to search or seek for them. But now, the one who was going to search and to seek for those wandering, scattered sheep has come. Amen? Jesus is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. He has compassion on these wandering, scattered Israelites, his own children, his own people. Compassion from his soul for them. And notice, it's interesting, back to Mark chapter 6. He has compassion on them. And notice, that's a feeling. But notice how he expresses that to them. Again, in our passage there, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 34, what did he do to express compassion? He began to do what? What did he begin to do? Teach them many things. Jesus sees these Israelites, these people in the world. He sees them running, chasing after something, them, him. He has compassion. He has compassion. But how does he express that to us? In his word. The Lord looks upon us and he sees us scattered. He sees us in our wandering. He sees us dissatisfied. He sees our struggles of faith. And the way that we find this Jesus, we find his compassion for us, the way that we access this love for us, this pity, this mercy for our souls, is not just in a mere feeling. Notice it's in the word. It's in his word. He began to teach them. And those things that were taught faithfully by the apostles, recorded by the gospel writers and the apostles themselves, we have access to that very teaching. We're reading it this morning. Find your satisfaction in Jesus. How? Be in his word. Hear his voice. Listen to what he wants you to know. Listen to how he speaks to you about how to live. I have compassion on you. I see you when you're wandering. I see you when you're scattering. Notice his power then, secondly, and quickly. Secondly, we see his compassion here. We see his power here. Notice that verse 35 through 41. Again, it's getting late in the day, the disciples come up, the apostles come up, verse 35, and tell Jesus that it is a desolate place. It's a wilderness again. The hour's now late. Send these crowds away that they can go get some food to eat. And notice how desperate they are. Notice how desperate they are, verse 37. When Jesus says, you give them something to eat. How do they respond? there's enough people in this crowd that it would take 200 denarii to feed them all. One denarius was a daily wage for a menial worker, a day laborer, we might call them today. This is 200, or roughly speaking, like 7 months' salary. You want us to take 7 months of an ordinary person's salary to feed these people for one meal? We don't have enough. We only have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. But it's interesting that their desperation sounds kind of like Moses' desperation out in the wilderness back in the book of Numbers. I'll just read for you Numbers chapter 11, where the Lord is describing to Moses to bring them out, to provide for them. And so Moses, in desperation, says to God in Numbers chapter 11, "Where shall I find meat to give all these people? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to satisfy them?" They're desperate. Just like Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, and he was desperate. Again, Mark wants us to see here this imagery of Moses and wilderness and rest and sheep and shepherd. Desperation and satisfaction that Jesus alone can give. 200 denarii. Lord, how are we going to find that kind of money? And so he tells them. Notice again. He tells them, to tell the people, verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups on green grass. And what does it mean by groups? Look at verse 40. They sat down in groups. Groups of hundreds. Groups of 50. So we're in the wilderness here. We're like the Israelites in the wilderness, being led around by Moses. There's daily bread. There's manna coming out of heaven. He's promising to give to them rest. And so Jesus says to sit in groups of hundreds and 50s. What does that remind you of from the Old Testament? In the wilderness, when the Israelites camped around the tabernacle, how do they camp around the tabernacle? They sat in groups of what? Hundreds and fifties. We see it in Exodus chapter 18, for example. Again, Jesus, and as Mark records Jesus here, think of the wilderness. Think of satisfaction from that daily manna. All that God provided. Meat, right? Meat beyond their wildest imaginations. Water from a rock. A double dose of manna every Sabbath day. Jesus satisfies. Jesus provides. And notice that verse 39 language there. Notice he has them sit where in verse 39? They're in the desert, but where does he say to sit? On the green grass. On the green grass. Ezekiel 34, that passage I just read from, if you keep reading on, it promises in the day to come, when the king comes, the Messiah comes, he's going to turn the desert into a place of a lavish garden with grass for the livestock and so forth. He prepares for me a table, right, in the presence of all my enemies. He leads me beside still waters. He satisfies me with what? Psalm 23? Green what? Green pastures. Green pastures. Here is Jesus, the shepherd, guiding his sheep, providing for them, having them sit like the Israelites in the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, they sat in these groups in a big circle around the Holy of Holies, right? In this story, who is in the middle? Jesus. Jesus. They surrounded the Lord in that wilderness, 50s and 100s, and here they are seated with the Lord in their midst. He prays, we're told there, verse 41, he says a blessing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides bread from the earth. There's a very ancient blessing and prayer to the Lord, Baruch Atah Adonai. It's this wonderful prayer, praying to the Lord for blessing from heaven, blessing with bread. And notice how Jesus, as he prays that blessing, this is a very traditional prayer in Israelite life. In the ancient writings, it describes that when the Israelites were to pray this prayer, their heads would be bowed. When you pray, Baruch Hatat Adonai, you are to have your head bowed in reverence to the Lord. Where's Jesus looking here? Where's Jesus looking? Look at verse 41 again. He took the bread, the two fish, he did what? He looked up where? To heaven. Everyone else looks down in reverence. Why is he allowed to look up and pray, Baruch Atah Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord. Here's the Son of God. Not a mere human shepherd. Not a mere king like Herod. Here's the Son of God in human flesh, praying to his Father. And as he looks up to heaven, what does God provide these disciples here down on earth? What does he provide for them? From five loaves and two fish, right? He provides manna from heaven. He provides meat in the wilderness. He provides for them all that they need to satisfy them, to provide for them. As one writer said, the hand of him who made the world out of nothing was present in the midst of the disciples and these crowds. Is there any place in your life Jesus is not? Is there any place you can go and hide from him? Is there any place in your life where Jesus is unconcerned about you in that place? Yeah, I know I have a job, but, you know, it's a job, right? Yeah, I know I've got to go to school tomorrow, I have class, but it's just class. Is there any place where God is not, where Jesus isn't? If he can turn a desert into a pasture of green grass, his power's with us to provide. Is there any situation in your life that the Lord cannot provide what you need to satisfy your soul? Here you are in the wilderness, a desolate place. They need 7 months of salary to provide just one meal. The Lord takes five measly loaves of bread and two skimpy little fish and prays and provides. Is there any way the Lord can't provide for us? Well, yeah. Okay, fine, I'll grant that. I'll believe that. The Lord can provide. The Lord's all-powerful. Jesus here is God in human flesh. But I've sinned. But I've sinned in a way that I can't get out of. And if God sees that, well, I know he sees it, but if I sort of open myself up to God and I ask him to help me, there's no way he'll ever love me. He can't love me. I've sinned in ways that I can't even describe to you. I've sinned in ways that I can't get out of. I've committed a certain sort of sin, or a certain time, a certain amount of that same sin, that there's just no way that this God can ever love me. Here he is with a crowd of people, providing for them all that they need. For every single one of them. Providing compassion upon them. He loves sinners. Jesus loves sinners like you and like me. There's no sin that you can commit that Jesus can't forgive. There's no place in your life that God in Jesus Christ cannot provide the satisfaction that you need. He turns the most disorienting situations here for this huge crowd into an opportunity for him to provide satisfaction. That's the kind of power that Jesus has, to provide satisfaction for souls, to give us what lasts, not merely just bread. So we see his compassion here for sinners like you and me. We see his power here to provide for sinners like you and me. We see his provision. Notice that, just to reiterate that point again, verse 42 and 44, he provides that for them so much so that they gather up all the pieces, and there are 12 baskets full of fish, loaves of bread, and these fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men, verse 34. Verse 42, they all ate. Notice that, they all ate and were satisfied. The psalmist praises the Lord. The psalmist praises the Lord, God of Israel, saying that you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every single living thing. And here he is holding in his open hands bread and fish and praying to the Father in heaven and multiplying. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. It's interesting that in the prophets, again, as we're thinking here of the wilderness, here's the greater Moses giving greater rest, greater satisfaction, greater manna from heaven himself. Here they are encamped around Jesus, the Holy of Holies himself, God in human flesh, providing for every single need that they have, satisfying every single one of them. The prophets said this very thing would happen when the Messiah would walk on this earth. The ancient prophets described a day to come when a king would come, the Messiah would come, and he would provide a feast for his children in the wilderness. A feast in the wilderness. Here's Herod, the king, with all this money and all this power, with a lavish feast in the story just prior to this, verse 14 and following. And he has this lavish feast, but yet he's unsatisfied. And here is Jesus providing a peasant's meal, bread and fish. But yet they're satisfied. He gives a feast in the wilderness. That's the irony of Jesus. You might be hearing me saying, "And are you Jesus satisfies?" And in your mind, you might be thinking, you know, that's a plush corner office job in a high-rise in downtown New York, right, Drew? Downtown New York, right? Making the big bucks in the big city, okay? The irony is that Jesus provides more than that. And I don't just mean in material, earthly ways, right? Here is a crowd of people eating bread and eating fish, and they are satisfied, unlike the king who has this lavish banquet and is unsatisfied. He provides a feast in the wilderness. A feast in the wilderness. The wilderness doesn't go away, notice. But it's a feast in the wilderness. The psalmist says, we'll see it in a moment here, Psalm 23, the Lord sets a table for us in the presence of my what? My enemies. The enemies are still there. The world around us, our own sins, the devil, right? The Lord satisfies us in the middle of all that. We might be this morning wanting to chase fame and fortune, position, power, pride that the world promises to us, yet it's in Jesus Christ alone. It's in Jesus Christ alone that all these needs and all these desires are truly satisfied, because he comes to our hearts and our souls and restores to us the joy of the salvation that we've lost in our sin. Here's the Creator in human flesh, the all-powerful Jesus, the most compassionate God, the Savior of sinners, the Satisfier of souls, Jesus. No matter who you are today, no matter what you have done, no matter what you've not done, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me and I will provide. The wilderness will still be there. The enemies are still going to exist. I don't provide health, wealth, and prosperity gospel here, no. But I will provide for you all that you need in this world. And not a single morsel more or a single morsel less. All that you need to satisfy. Find in Jesus today, no matter who you are, believer, struggler, non-believer, find in Jesus satisfaction for your soul that lasts for eternity, that lasts forever. No amount of money, no amount of ideology, politics, sexual sins and so forth. No matter what the struggle is today, no matter what we hear the world promising to us, they always saying that there's greener pastures and over there there's just a little bit more if you just follow this path. No, it's found in Christ. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. And so the Lord invites you to this little meal. And the irony is that just as he provides a feast in a wilderness, bread from heaven to a crowd of people in a desert, in the same way we have this little bit of wine, this little bit of bread that looks like nothing, but yet here's the feast of Christ to satisfy our souls. We eat and we drink, we hold in our hands, we taste with our lips the gospel itself. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord this morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Come to Jesus and find the one who satisfies. Let's pray.